WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We wanted to find out more about author Julie Hecht, so we invited her for an interview. Usually, I ask fiction writers to read from their work, but Hecht told me she doesn't like to do readings, so I asked her why.
Because I'm so tired of it. Because I wrote it, and I edited it, and I edited all the stories for The New Yorker, and I got many sets of galleys, and I went over all the sentences and all the punctuation. And to read it aloud now, it just seems kind of narcissistic and vain.
How horrible would it be if I read a few lines out loud from your book?
Well, it would be less horrible than if I read it.
Okay. Well, I've chosen a few lines that ends with what I think is perhaps my favorite sentence in the book. This is from a story in which, this is the title story, To the Windows Open, in which the character is very afraid about taking this bus ride, and she's just like mentally preparing herself for this ride. And she says, as the departure time approached for my first trip on the bus, I thought that this must be the way people feel when waiting to board a plane. They're always telling us that cars are more dangerous than planes. Why not be afraid of both? I love that. I think it's like the character's philosophy of life. Why not be afraid of both? In a way, I think some of the stories in here are like a catalog of phobias. Is it fair to assume that some of those phobias are yours? I'm hearing rather a long silence.
Yeah, rather not get into that.
Okay.
Other than to say that when I came here today, I asked if the windows open in this building.
And do they?
They said they can be open, but they're not open. So that was good enough for me, that they can be open. Because, you know, I've never even been to Random House, my publisher, because when I said, do the windows open, they said, no, it's a sealed building.
And why is that so important that you can't even go to the building?
Can't get any air. You know, you're separated from the air. Not that the air outside in New York is good, but what's being filtered? What kind of air is being filtered through all these sealed buildings? It just makes me feel trapped.
The character in your short stories sometimes tries to pass as a normal person. Like she says, I was talking to him as if I had normal, casual thoughts on my mind. Do you ever feel like you're trying to pass as a normal person, but you're not really?
No, because I'm used to having to act normal in life, or trying to act normal anyway. You can't just say what you're really thinking. I think everyone has some of that.
The character in your stories has an obsession with photographing her world-famous reproductive surgeon, Dr. Arnold Loquesto, and she thinks that if she photographs him with his little dog, she'd have an answer to the question of how to live in the world. Why does she think that? Why is she so obsessed with photographing this surgeon?
Well, he's a person who's not concerned with any of the little things that she's concerned with, and he can just do everything he wants to do and not get bogged down the way she does. And then the difference between his behavior with his dog and with other people is such a I mean not other people I mean with people is such a great difference that she thinks that might tell her something about how people act, how they get to do what they do. Actually, it's probably just something very simple, that some people like dogs better than people, and he's one of those.
You write so much about this character's obsession with photographing her reproductive surgeon, but don't really explain why she became his patient. Is she infertile? Does she really want children? Why are you not focusing on that personal aspect of her life?
Well, I don't think it matters. I don't think it's important. I think what's important is his character him and her fascination with his behavior and his success and how funny he is. And he's a person who's so funny that he could use his funniness to be a comedian, a writer. But here he does something worthwhile with his life.
My guest is Julie Hecht. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Julie Hecht. Her new collection of short stories is called Do the Windows Open? You've been writing stories since you were 8 years old. What did you write about when you were eight?
Same things. Same things, only a more minor version.
Well, give me an example of how an 8-year-old would be writing about this kind of frame of mind, this like fearful, neurotic frame of mind at the age of eight.
Well, I think I didn't have the fear and the neurosis in it, but I had the surprise at how different everything was from the way it was supposed to be.
How was it supposed to be?
Well, normal. You know, my childhood was in the 50s, and things were supposed to be normal. There was a facade of normal. And I noticed that things didn't live up to that. So I was always surprised that nothing was the way it was supposed to be. And I think that's what my stories were about, how this happened and that happened. And
what's an example of something that you thought was normal that didn't happen that way in your life?
Oh, like family life you'd see on television. You know, the family of Ozzie and Harriet. The family of, oh, I can't remember, those little films they'd show in school about being polite and having respect. Good manners. One of the things they always showed in school was what was a healthy breakfast, and it had about it had about 10 courses in it. It had bacon, eggs, toast, butter, milk, fruit, juice, cereal, more milk, things like that. And those kind of films, I thought, well, this is not the way it is at my house.
What was going on at your house? What did your parents do? What kind of neighborhood did you live in?
My mother was an English teacher, and both my parents were social critics. My parents didn't go along with the way things were. My father would say, "I don't care what other people do. Think for yourself and do what you think is right." And they were very independent. They weren't part of what was going on wherever they lived.
Did you ever say to yourself, well, there's something inside me that's not normal, you know, that I just think differently than other people?
No, because I thought right and they thought wrong. Especially when I was, say, 13, 12, you know, I thought, what's wrong with these kids? And my father agreed with me. But someone else in my family said, you ought to read the play The Misanthrope. Because when I was at that age, I spent a lot of time telling what was wrong with my, what's called now the peer group. The people I went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought I was right and they were wrong.
About what? I mean, what's an example of something that you thought?
Well, you know, they were just silly teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
The lipstick, the pink lipstick.
Yes.
There were these other things called fads. And all they cared about was something called being popular.
And were you ever popular, and did you ever care?
Well, I had my friends. Yeah, I think I had my friends. You know, the thing I did was I wrote stories, and my teachers read them out loud. And my classmates liked those stories. They were funny. So, or they thought they were funny. So I guess that's a kind of popularity, a popular writer in sixth grade.
In reviewing your book, our book critic Maureen Corrigan basically said that there's a certain kind of neurotic, like really, really neurotic person who could be a real chore to be around. But reading about them as a character in fiction in the way that you write about such a character, they're just fascinating, and you want to spend more time with them. And I wonder if you find that difference to be true, too, that it's one thing to read about a certain type of neurotic character on a page and another thing to actually have to live with such a character or spend time with them or maybe even to be them.
I don't think it can be pinned down to a real person's behavior, because it's such an exaggeration. It's more, I don't mean that my stories are as good as poems or anything like that, but when you read a poem, you wouldn't take it that seriously, would you? What they're saying about how they feel, or I think that there is no such person like this. It's a way of thinking and writing and feeling, but no one could really live that way. This is more in your head.
Tell me why you created a character who really lives in her head, whose thoughts are so preoccupied with phobias.
I don't know why. It just happened. I didn't plan it. That's just the way it happened.
Now, are your characters always like that? Have you written about characters who are real action people, who are really well adjusted?
No, I have no experience with the well adjusted.
Do you keep a journal?
No.
Oh.
Heavens.
Oh, why is that such an appalling idea?
Well, it's enough to live through the things, but then to write it down, I don't know, it just would be... I think it's better to go out and take a walk.
A journal's like double jeopardy?
Oh, more than double.
If you could be relieved of all your fears, would you want that?
No, I think fears protect you. I mean, I don't think it's safe to fly. I don't want to learn how to fly, for example. I mean, fly in planes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how Ralph Nader flies when he knows so many things about the danger of flying. So, no, I don't believe in flying. I don't think it's natural. So I wouldn't want to be relieved of that kind of fear.
Any fears you would like to be relieved of? Like if you could be relieved of the fear of closed windows, if you could actually go to Random House, your publishing company, in spite of the fact that the windows don't open, would that feel good?
No, it's not good to be in buildings where windows can't be opened. Windows should be open. Air should come in.
So you think? Yeah, go ahead.
People should be able to get out. They shouldn't be sealed off from the world.
So you think your fears are just sensible and rooted in reality?
Well, my fears or the narrator's fears.
Yours.
The narrator is not me. So
right.
My fears are rooted in reality. Definitely.
My guest is writer Julie Hecht. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is writer Julie Hecht, author of a new collection of short stories about anxieties and phobias called Do the Windows Open? You're the kind of writer who writes many drafts, always editing, right? I imagine every time an editor sends you a galley, you're editing it again, even if it's already been in print in another form.
I even edit it after it's published. When I get The New Yorker, I would look through it and see what I might have done better. And then I would do it again. You know, a year later, I might look at it and think I should have done this, I should have done that.
Is that a real burden to always feel like you're never done with it? Even when it's published, you're ready to improve it. You're just never done.
Well, in the beginning, it's a burden, but then you wise up and you realize it doesn't matter. First of all, you're so exhausted. You're so tired of it that you just don't care. You know, you just never want to see it again. And when people read me a sentence from it or say that they like it, I kind of don't know what they're talking about, because it's for me, it's finished. You know what I mean? I wrote these in the past, 7 years or so?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, when I would get one of these stories published, of course it would be very exciting to me, when it would be accepted even. And then when I saw that nobody really cared very much, that they cared more about some news story, I got used to it. So that's the way it is. You know, you get used to it, and then it's not that really important. Although every time I write something, I forget about that, and I attack it the same way, as if it is so important.
Where is the pleasure in writing? Writing's hard. Rewriting, you've described rewriting and editing as being like alone in a prison with your work. You're afraid that there's very few people who really appreciate writing and care much about it anymore. So where's the pleasure? Why do it?
Well, who said anything about pleasure?
Right.
Let's see. It starts out as, you might make people laugh. That's what it is. When you see you made people laugh, then you feel that it's not just completely narcissistic. It's not just obsessive and selfish. Of course, it is narcissistic and obsessive and selfish, but you feel when you can make people laugh, and you see that, and you see them laughing and smiling, I suppose that's rewarding. And then when you're writing and you're under the delusion that you've written a great sentence or a wonderful sentence, you think, oh, this is fun. But then the next day when you read it, you might think, oh, it's not so great. Or then your editor will say, oh, I don't like that. That's not up to the rest of it. So you're always finding out that what you thought was wonderful is not so wonderful. You kind of never know what's what. I don't know why I do it. I guess it's just an obsession, and I feel I owe it to my sixth grade teacher who got me started.
I know you're not your character, and you don't really want to talk about any phobias you might have, yet I can't help but wonder if there are certain superstitions or fears you have as a writer that you think might jinx your writing.
Yeah, I think if you talk about it, you can't do it. Say if you get a great idea and you tell it to somebody, that's usually the end of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or often I'll tell someone my idea and they'll say, well, that's not a story. That doesn't sound like a story to me. In fact, I think I told my husband several of these ideas for stories that are in this book, and he would always say, yeah, well, where's the story? Because he's a man, and he's looking for action. He's looking for plot and action. In fact, one of my stories that I was having trouble with because it was so lacking in real action, my fellow writer at The New Yorker, Tom Drury, read it, and it's the story in this collection, The Thrill Is Gone, and Tom really loved the story, and I said, well, what can I do to make it more this and less that? And he said, well, you should put in this sentence here, I got up.
And that's the action part?
Yeah, well, it makes it, he said it makes it less just thinking. In the, it gets it less out of the person's head. And at least he didn't say, you know, I got up, I got my gun, or I got up, I got on my horse. You know, I'm grateful that he said just, well, he understood the story, so he knew that that would help. And of course, it did help. And, you know, he made a few other suggestions like that.
Julie Hecht, her new collection of short stories is called Do the Windows Open?